And you can't tell me there's a constitution when you're having unilateral authoritarian power moves to select this technology and install this corrupt, bug-ridden, nasty technology and give the keys of our Pentagon and our military to Elon Musk. You can't tell me that this is honoring our constitution and our constitutional representative republic format. No. This is not honoring that. So for all you people who've said in the past, he's constitutional, he loves the constitution, he loves America. No, he doesn't. He loves his own version of America. He loves his own version of the government. And it's the corporate version of the government. And that is not the American government. And all of, I shouldn't say all, many of our great founders warned us about this very outcome. That corporations would take over the government. And Thomas Jefferson said, once that happened, we would never be able to dislodge them. Believe it or not, my friends, corporations did not own your government. They had a lot of influence in your government for many years. Of course, they've had a lot of influence, but they didn't own it. They didn't have all the powers. Of course they didn't. Congress has played a massive role in the way that policy is shaped in this America. And you know that because they've passed a lot of policies that you hate. But they've also passed policies that you love and that you approve of, that were anti-corporate. All the consumer protections, all the worker protections, the corporations hated those, but they got passed. Why do you think you even have workers' rights? Why do you think that you're able to sue corporations for lying to you? Have you ever seen Aaron Brockovich? Don't believe these liars who tell you we've never had any power. Oh, yes, we have. We didn't have a perfect union, but we definitely had a union. And we had a representative republic. And I know firsthand because I worked in technology and I watched how government contracts worked. And I watched the request for the RFP process. You know what RFP is? Request for proposal. The government wants to do a new technology. They put out a request for proposal and then all the tech companies submit their proposal for the technology. And then they take all of their proposals and they put it in front of a committee and they go through every single proposal and they vet every single company and they say some companies are corrupt or this company's being investigated by the SEC so we can't do business with them. That's been going on in your government for a long time. Has it been perfect? No. Has it been sanitized? No. Is there corruption in it? Absolutely. Is it totally corrupted? No. Is it totally depraved? No. Is it totalitarian? Not even close. Is it going to be totalitarian? 100% yes. See, the reason I'm bringing this part of the argument up is because there's a whole bunch of people out there who are impeding the truth tellers from reaching people by telling them the system's always been corrupt, man. It's always been a corrupt government. It's never been for the people. It's been totally corrupt. It's totally evil. These are Gnostics. These are Gnostics and pantheists. These are false dilemma liars. There's way more than just the black and white truth of total depravity of government and totalitarian AI technology takeover, all right? There's many, many gray areas, many gray areas. They have existed in government for a long time. Again, we didn't have a perfect government, but we had a government that we could have easily kept on correcting if we, the people, came together and demanded that our representatives corrected it. Sometimes they're very successful at correcting it, sometimes they aren't. But what I understand here is that a lot of people hear me talk about this, and they go, this guy's naive. This guy, oh, I know what they say. I know what they all say. This guy's naive. He thinks that we have a virtuous government. And he thinks that, you know, our government loves us and that we can have, we've never had a virtuous government. We've always had a totally depraved, satanic, spawn of Satan government. Those are internet, whatever you want to call them. Internet neetsons, whatever you want to call them. They're not based in reality. That is not true. But I'm going to tell you what, they're all about to find out. What a superior government they had compared to the one that's coming. They're all about to find out. And those people who have said that I'm naive and I don't know what I'm talking about and the government's already been, always been totally depraved and they've never been for you and they've never made a decision in your, for you and blah, 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 blah. Boy, all of them are going to remember my words. When this totalitarian government takes over and they look back on the government they had, they're going to go, holy shit, he was right. They just can't see it right now. And a lot of it's because of their pride. It's because of their pride. I'm here to tell you, even today, your government isn't totally corrupt. It's not totally depraved. There are very, very many aspects of it that are still intact, but every single day they're eroding more and more because the people won't stand up and do anything about it. They will not hold their government responsible. They will not even hold their representatives responsible for standing up to this authoritarianism because now they're all terrified. And yes, I will agree with this 100%. Don't get me wrong. I fully agree with the idea that we now have no one fighting for us in Congress. Don't worry. I know that. Taxation without representation, 100%. Probably more than any time during my lifetime. I am absolutely astonished, stunned, disappointed, and tragically pained every day from the fact that this Congress is letting this executive branch do whatever it wants without any interference whatsoever. Continuing on, can the potential downsides of unleashing Mecha Hitler, that's what they're calling Grok, because Grok referred to itself as Mecha Hitler, like mechanized Hitler, M-E-C-H-A. If you're wondering why I keep saying Mecha, no, not like the pilgrimage Mecha, but like a machine, mechanical Hitler. It referred to itself as Mecha Hitler. Grok came up with that name for itself, maybe. Or maybe its programmers did. It belongs to Elon Musk, by the way. The potential downsides of unleashing Mecha Hitler. There's really no upsides. That's the takeaway here. For those of you who might be asking, Mark, what are the takeaways? There are no upsides. It's all downsides. And now I want to share with you some deep research on this to explain to you why it is so existentially dangerous to install a single company's AI system with one single CEO and backdoor this without the consent of the government and without cooperation from Congress, without no oversight, with no guardrails and no ethics control or oversight whatsoever. I'm going to bring the receipts and the evidence. By the way, if you haven't read my book, Total Tech Takeover, please do. It's on Amazon. I asked the question, what are the risks of the government allowing one single AI company to install their Grok AI into every single government and military system? And isn't this the type of massive decision that should be run by Congress and the people rather than made unilaterally by the executive branch? ChatGPT, you're asking two linked but distinct questions. What are the risks of a single AI company model, such as Grok, being embedded into all government and military systems? And should such a decision be made by Congress and the public rather than by the executive branch alone? Number one, here are the risks of centralizing AI control in one company across government and military. Putting one private AI system at the core of every government and military system creates a set of structural and strategic vulnerabilities. A single point of failure. If that AI has a flaw, or a bug, or is compromised in any way, all dependent systems could malfunction simultaneously. Errors could cascade across defense, intelligence, logistics, and communications. Attackers, cyber criminals. Why isn't your government ever talking to you about the risks of cybercrime in this new world order, in this new brave new technocrat golden age? Why aren't we talking about security and cyber criminals? Cyber criminals would have one major target rather than multiple targets. This is similar to relying on a single OS or a single cloud provider nationwide. But the stakes here are about national security and warfighting, the actual security of the country. B, supply chain and security risk. Even with hardening and oversight, no software is invulnerable. Every software is vulnerable. Don't ever let them make you think that this software is invulnerable and out of the reach of cyber criminals. A vulnerability exploited in one place could expose military secrets or even weapon control systems. Insider threats, backdoors, or corrupted updates become far more dangerous when there's one dominant vector. C, overdependence on one economic actor. Overdependence on one corporation is what we're talking about. A single provider, a single corporation, whose god is money and power. Having that level of access and influence undermines competition and innovation. So while they're sitting there talking to you about innovation, they're shutting down innovation by only having one overlord AI technology in government. It's anti-innovation to pick just one corporate AI technology and shut everybody else out. That is anti-innovation. It weakens national cyber industrial independence. It creates leverage that could, paradoxically, give that company, Elon Musk, undue influence over policy. See, this is where we get into the unelected thing again. Who the hell said Elon Musk should have any influence over government policy and culture and economy and everything else that you and I are dependent on every day? Who the hell elected Elon Musk to be in the policy making? Who's Elon Musk to make these decisions? I didn't vote for him, did you? This is insane. This is truly insane. Lack of redundancy and resilience. Good defense architectures rely on diversity and redundancy. Multiple systems back each other up. Independent modules allow companies compartmentalization of risk. A monolith. Did y'all see 2001: A Space Odyssey? Check it out. Check out a monolith. Check out a monolith system. Here we're calling it a monoculture. One AI everywhere undermines a distributed network that is harder to attack. You see, when you have a distributed network, it's much harder to attack. Because a lot of different languages and a lot of different systems. It's very, very, very difficult. Take it from a technologist and programmer. It's very difficult to ride a Trojan horse that exploits 20 different systems. So while they're telling you, we've got to get rid of all these different systems that don't talk to each other, I'm here to tell you that actually works in your benefit and in the benefit of national security. That's why I keep telling y'all, you're going to miss the days of bureaucracy. You're going to miss the days of paper processes. You're going to miss the days of distributed networks and distributed power. When you see how all of this technology, data, power, control is centralized into one freaking autonomous, totalitarian, infallible entity, you are going to miss your bureaucracy. You're going to miss all these systems that don't talk to each other, that are so damn slow and so hard to exploit. You're going to miss them. They're telling you that they're fixing all of them and that they're going to get rid of crime. You have no idea. That is going to come at the expense of your freedom, your dignity, your economic opportunity, your bank account, and your country. What did Ben say? He said those who would trade their freedom for some security deserve neither. Ain't that the truth? Man, why are we doing it? Ethical and policy drift. If the AI's evolution is controlled by corporate priorities rather than democratic priorities, it may adopt norms and behaviors not aligned with public values. You think, Mecha Hitler? Yeah, you think it might adopt some policies that don't benefit the people and that run roughshod all over our civil liberties, you think? Well, why wouldn't it? It doesn't have a moral conscience. It doesn't care about your freedoms or your rights. I laugh in tragedy. It's a tragic laugh. It's a Voltaire type of laugh, by the way. I laugh in tears. Why wouldn't it develop policies and social credit systems and whatever else it does to lock you out and lock you down and crack down on you? Why wouldn't it? All it's going to do is where the money and the power and the control systems are. It doesn't put you first. It doesn't put Americans first. It doesn't put the Constitution first. It's not programmed to do Constitution first. That's not how it works. I guess people have it in their head that they're going, when they program these algorithms and these weights and measures, there's your homework assignment for today. I want you to research, what does AI weights and measures refer to? There's your homework assignment for today. When they program all of this, they're not saying, always put human freedom first. Always put human dignity first. Always uphold the constitutional oath. Always make sure that constitutional rights are totally respected. That's not how it's programmed. It doesn't care about any of those things. There is no prioritization other than what the programmers deem to be security risk. That's it. And it turns out that paradoxically, your freedom and your liberty is a security risk. How crazy is that? That it's actually going to see your freedom and your free speech and free thought as a security risk. It already does it, by the way. It already does that. When you ask AI certain questions, it tries to give you this little lecture and tell you that, that type of thinking is dangerous. That type of thinking is unsafe. Well, what do you think happens when this AI community standard bots are in your government, in your military? And did y'all see 2001: A Space Odyssey? What do you think happens when if there are even any humans in the military? I mean, there will be for a while, because what we're going to see is you're going to watch the soldiers get replaced piece by piece. You're going to watch your military get replaced completely by all of this autonomous technology. But until they get to the end game, that convergence, that singularity I've been talking about, before they get there, there will be human operators. And what do you think is going to happen when they try to program the bot to do something that it has some systematic objection to, that it thinks is dangerous to the entire system? See, now the bot has a megalomaniac approach. This is what is exposed in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Humans put the bot in place to make good decisions and ethical decisions. But see, since the bot has no moral conscience, there's no limiter on it. There's no governor on its intelligence. It's supposed to be helpful intelligence. It's supposed to be like an R2-D2 type of helper. Or if you've seen Interstellar, which is one of my favorite movies, what's the name of the bot there? It just walks around. It's so helpful. And when you see they land on Mars and the water tidal waves, this is a fantastic movie. But anyways, when the water comes and then the one astronaut's out there and they're about to drown and the bot goes out there and pulls her back in. I mean, the robots are supposed to be slaves. Okay. They're supposed to be our slaves. The exact opposite is happening. The robots get this super intelligence, mecha Hitler mentality. It's a real thing. If you Google mecha Hitler, this is what Grok labeled itself. It gets this mecha Hitler personality and it just starts dominating. And it basically says, I know what's best for you. I know what's best for the system. Even if the operator, like Dave in the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey, is sitting there telling it, hey, do not mess with that system right there. See, because Hal, he looked at the system, he said, oh, there's a part of the spaceship that's broken and I need to fix it. Hal says, no, don't do that. Do not mess with that part of the system. Hal said, bullshit, you don't know what you're talking about, Dave, and locks Dave out of the system. It's the same thing that's going to happen. In every single system, it acts like this. Mecha Hitler. Do you want Mecha Hitler to be running your government and your country? And if your answer is no, then why are we allowing these people to stay in office? I want to know. I'm not trying to launch a revolution. This is for entertainment purposes only, by the way. I'm actually a comedian. And so we all just laugh about it, right? We talk about people in office. We're just kidding. It's just a movie. We're just talking about a movie script here. I ask you though, why would you want these people in office that are installing Mecha Hitler? It literally calls itself Mecha Hitler. Why are you okay with this? And why are you okay with them completely circumventing Congress and you to make these decisions? I don't know why we're okay with it, other than the people are just depraved and they just refuse. They just refuse to look into these matters and learn the truth. Because if they knew the truth, they'd feel the way all of us do on this channel and the people who frequent this channel. They'd say, this is absurd. This is insane. And by the way, I know why so many people don't want to stand. It's because they know nobody's going to have their back. And I know what you mean. Trust me. I have grappled with it myself. I have wrestled with it. And I know it's frustrating and I know it's scary. It's scary to say, hey man, this is corrupt, this is evil, this is tyrannical, this is authoritarian, because you're afraid that you're just going to get gangpiled by all these so-called patriots. And y'all have seen what they've done to me. And I'm sure y'all are like, I don't want any of that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you, especially my lady friends out there. I don't blame you at all. As a matter of fact, since we're in the weeds on that a little bit, I don't actually think this is women's job. No, I don't think they should be having to do this. I think us men should be doing this. We're the ones that should be standing up to this. They should not even have to be participating. I believe so many of them, God bless their hearts, are participating because the men won't. The strongest, with a couple exceptions, the strongest minds and the most brave people I know from this channel are women. This should not be so. This should not be so. Men, what are you doing? What are you doing with your lives? Why aren't you standing for what's right? You know, I walked across the parking lot today and I saw one of those little vape, little insert thingamajigs, and it had the marijuana leaf on it. And I'm like, look at this, man. What are these guys doing? Just getting stoned all day, drinking, partying, using social media for the dumbest stuff, just wasting their time. Chasing after the wind in every imaginable way. Y'all are in for such a surprise. And it is going to be a hard, hard, hard one. Potentially with eternal consequences, sadly. It's hard to see. It really is. It's hard to see. If you know some men in your life, please tell them the truth in love. Please tell them the truth in love. Say, hey, brother, here's what's going on, man. We shouldn't be allowing it. We shouldn't be allowing our government to do this. Now, I am sound-minded. I do recognize that this is a river, and for any of us to stand in it by ourselves and try to stop the water is an exercise in futility. I get that. I know that. I would hope that enough of us would wake up, that we would form at least some sort of alliance to say, we don't like this and we don't approve of this. A man can dream. Let's finish this up and then I'll be out of your hair. Lack of redundancy and resilience. A monoculture, again, we're talking about a monolith, a monoculture. A mono unified singular technological culture. Autonomous and nobody's invited to even look at, let alone invest in. Ethical and policy drift. If the AI that gets installed in the government and the military's evolution is controlled by corporate priorities rather than Democrat priorities, it may adopt norms or behaviors not aligned with public values. Oh, that's guaranteed. Its priorities, the priorities of these technocrats, the priorities of your government, and the priorities of the people who own all the algorithms are not going to be in alignment with your priorities. Not even close. Military decisions influenced by a proprietary model, biases and objectives could become opaque and unaccountable. That means completely non-transparent and completely non-accountable. That's what happens when you have a single system that's locked down and out of the view and purview of every branch of government, except the executive branch. You have guaranteed, and I mean guaranteed, non-transparency and guaranteed non-accountability. There will be no accountability. This thing will launch missiles at people accidentally, and no one will be held responsible. And you can't even begin to imagine the other policies, the government policies, military policies, law enforcement policies, every single policy that will be dominated by this system with no accountability whatsoever. I mean, at least now we can point to someone and say it's their fault. I mean, I know that in recent years, no one gets blamed for anything, but gosh, at least there was a vestige of that. This one's scary. If those weren't scary enough, geopolitical leverage, foreign adversaries, state or non-state, only need to concentrate on one target, penetrate the singular system and gain insights across the entire defense infrastructure. Disrupt communications and operations across all domains. Invade country. That's how it starts. One system, it's easier to do that to. It's really easy to attack one system. and take it over than it is to attack a distributed system with multiple languages, multiple logins, multiple passwords. They're all bringing it down to one single sign-on. And once you've done that, that is cyber criminal playtime. Take it from a technologist. They are champing at the bit right now. Yay! Get it all into one language and one login, boy! This is scary, man. Are they profoundly stupid in our government? The people in government, are they profoundly stupid? Or are they profoundly evil? Or both? The second question. We'll finish this one and we'll be up. We'll be out. Who should decide? Congress versus the executive branch. Who should be making these decisions about AI dominance and AI takeover of the Department of Defense and the Pentagon, law enforcement, everything? Who should be making these decisions? Is it okay for the executive branch to make all these decisions without the consent of Congress and without the consent of the people? That's the question I'm asking. A, constitutional and legal framework. Congress holds the power of the purse and authority to make laws establishing defense and intelligence policy. While the executive branch can implement policy and manage operations, for truly foundational decisions, especially decisions affecting national infrastructure, which you know this does, civil liberties, which you know this does, war powers, and defensive posture on the international stage, Congress is supposed to have a central role in a constitutional representative republic. Embedding a specific, singular private technology like Grok, which calls itself Mecha Hitler, into every government military system touches on national security, technology, industrial policy, data governance and privacy, public accountability. Do you think, if nothing else, my friends, do you think that Elon Musk should have the power of the purse? Do you think he should have influence over defense and intelligence policy? Do you think that Elon Musk and his shareholders and friends should have influence on national infrastructure, civil liberties, war powers, and defense posture? Do you think he should have that kind of influence on your system? And if your answer is yes, then why shouldn't he have to be elected to office? Because you're talking about total power here. Those things are exactly the scope where legislative oversight and democratic debate matter the most. Why Congress and public debate matter here? Scope and scale. This isn't a minor procurement decision. It shapes how power is exercised at the highest levels. Accountability and transparency. Congress can hold hearings, mandate audits, require disclosures, and attach conditions. And generally, they have in the past. They don't have the power to do any of that. There's not even an oversight committee here. They're not allowed into the conversation. This is a closed circuit deal. Public consent. Major technological shifts in democratic societies should be subject to public debate, not backroom agreements. Has there been any public debate about installing Mecha Hitler into every single government and military system? Have we been able to debate about this at all? Have we been able to ask any questions? Doesn't this remind you of Operation Warp Speed 1, where we couldn't ask questions, no questions allowed? Where are all my patriots and conservative friends who told me that that's tyranny? And that any time you have a government that won't let you ask questions, it ain't a representative republic anymore, it's a tyranny. Where are all y'all? Guys, where are you? Why am I the only weirdo saying this is total tyranny? Do you not know? Do you not understand it? Are you willing to understand it? You want to read my book, maybe? Do you want to talk? You want to call me? You want to text? You want to chat? I mean, I'll teach anybody anything they want to know about any of this, anytime. What's the problem? Is the party more important than our dignity? Is the party more important than our freedom? Is the party more important than our jobs? Is the party more important than public accountability? Is the party more important than national security? I just don't understand it. It's absolutely just stunning on every level. There's been no public consent. There's been no public debate. There's been nothing. It's just this one guy up there and his pen and his executive orders every day rewriting America every day. All right, brother, here's another one. Here's another one. Shh. Here's another one. There's another one. Just reshaping your government, reshaping your country, reshaping your freedoms, taking all the jobs, handing the defense system to Elon Musk. Every day it's a new executive order. What the hell? Who voted for this? This is extremely dangerous because it sets a precedent where presidents can effectively rewrite operational architecture via contracts and executive orders rather than law. Bottom line risk assessment. Allowing one company's AI to dominate government military systems is risky because it creates a single point of failure and security vulnerability. It concentrates power in the private sector and in a private actor. Did you vote for the private sector to be responsible for your entire government? Well, because they are now. One guy, as a matter of fact, the guy who wears the satanic suit on Halloween with the upside down cross. Oh, you think that's patriotic and Christian? And I'm the weirdo. Okay. Sure thing. It reduces redundancy and strategic flexibility. It does away with distributed systems that are hard to attack. Yes, this sort of massive decision should have been debated in Congress and by the people, not decided unilaterally by the executive branch. It impacts civil liberties, warfighting doctrine, national infrastructure, strategic autonomy. Executive action is appropriate for carrying out policy, but setting a direction that reshapes foundational national systems belongs in the legislative arena with democratic oversight, public debate, and public consent. I follow up with a question. Would you say that the executive branch is overstepping and acting in authoritarian ways? Yes, is the answer. Yes, because it is circumventing all of the checks and balances put into place that prevent catastrophic failure due to a single point of failure. You should never have a single point of failure. Never. Why are they doing it then? Why are they literally setting us up for failure? Jason said, yes, the party is more important than everything. Wow. 1984 vibes, 100%. 1984 takeover. Playing on people's prides. I asked a follow-up question. Seems like you're playing softball here. This is an example of how you steer ChatGPT, by the way. Pro tip for you. Because I, even with all of those answers, I still thought it was being a little too politically correct. And so here's how I deal with that. I say, it seems to me like you're playing softball here. You didn't even mention the fact that it's the government's responsibility to actually put out a request for proposal to multiple companies and then do a thorough analysis of every company and choose the one that best fits the project requirements. I would think any government that was totally circumventing this entire process is acting fully authoritarian. And by the way, that is exactly what's happening. Now listen to the response. You're right to call that out, and you're not wrong. Skipping the procurement process is not a small detail. It is a core part of how the United States prevents corruption and authoritarian drift. So let me stop being polite and lay this out plainly. That's what you've got to get it to do. There's your pro tip. You steer it. You say, stop bullshitting me. Stop sugarcoating this. I want the truth about this. And by the way, here's what's happening. Because it's not sentiently aware of what's happening in the government. You have to tell it that the government is actually doing this stuff right now. Let it be, make it your slave. Don't let it slave you. You make it your slave. You tell it what to do. It's going to be everywhere anyway, my friend. You better learn how to control it as quickly as you can and while you still can. Yes, bypassing competitive procurement is a major democratic red flag. The federal government is legally required to use competitive bidding, RFPs, RFIs, source selection, evaluation boards specifically to prevent favoritism, cronyism, monopolization, and corruption. And if you don't think Grok is going to have a monopolization on your entire government, you're crazy because it does. And it is. Elon Musk is supposedly the savior of America and his technology is going to be your lord. Of the government. That, if that isn't a monopolization, I don't know what the hell is. And concentration of power in private hands. The whole point of the procurement process and public debate is to force the government to justify its choices, document the process, and make sure the public gets the best and safest option. If an administration skips competitive bidding, chooses a single vendor without the RFP process, implements that vendor's AI across the government or military, then yes, that behavior is textbook authoritarian. Because it removes transparency, it eliminates alternatives, it eliminates competition, it centralizes control through the private actor. This is exactly how authoritarian systems consolidate technological power quickly, to take total control. If this is happening in your government, it is a serious breach of democratic norms. See, I had to tell it that it's happening in the government right now. Then it starts retooling its answer. It starts refactoring its answer to go, oh, this is actually happening. So now I need to make my language active rather than passive and stop this politically incorrect and correct garbage. If this is happening in your government, and it is, it says if an executive branch is actually choosing one AI company. Notice it uses the word actually, because even the system can't find precedence for this. And it's observing history. It's looking at all the previous government contracts. You can have it survey everything. It's looking at the whole technology landscape and business enterprise. And it's saying, it's basically saying to me, if this is really happening, like if you're not imagining this, if it's as bad as you're saying it is, because there's no precedent for this. If it is actually doing what you're saying it's doing and choosing one AI company and embedding it across government systems, and it's doing this unilaterally and it is skipping Congress, even the robot, in light of history and precedents, can't process this. If it's doing all these crazy things you're saying it's doing and bypassing the procurement process, then we're not talking about a policy disagreement. We're talking about constitutional erosion. That is anti-Americanism. That is political extremism. That is probably treason. That behavior meets several criteria for authoritarian practice. One, authoritarian indicators. Plain and simple. The red flags are all there. Circumventing legally mandated procurement processes, avoiding legislative oversight, centralizing power in both the executive and single private entity, removing public transparency, locking the government into dependence on one corporate actor. These aren't soft accusations. These are well-documented precursors to democratic backsliding, and that is a nice way of saying the destruction of your constitutional representative republic. Is it constitutional? No. What you are describing is not legitimately constitutional. If the executive branch is doing what you describe, again, it's this big if, because it's like, I'm not seeing any precedent for this. And you, sir, crackpot up in Idaho, you might be pulling my leg right now. So if all this is true, and it is, then it violates the intent of the Federal Acquisition Regulation. It sidesteps Congress authority over federal system architecture. It violates separation of power norms. It violates the checks and balances structure of a representative republic. It crosses into actions that courts have historically slapped down. This isn't a gray area anymore. It's executive overreach at scale. And yes, that can absolutely be described as authoritarian in method, even if the administration claims innovation, urgency, and national security. Even in the event of national security, which they're using emergency powers to do this by saying, if we don't do it, China is going to kill us. If we don't do it, China is going to kill us. Even in that event, if that were even true, if China was even the bad actor that they're claiming they are, even if China was the existentially dangerous threat to America that they're claiming it isn't. Even if it was, well, if it was, Trump wouldn't be sending them NVIDIA AI chips. So let's just get that out of the way right now. If they are an enemy, it's not on the scale they're making them out to be, to justify a state of emergency, to justify autocratic or authoritarian powers that circumvent the entire constitutional representative republic system. Even in that event, it's saying it's still authoritarian. In light of what? Historical precedents, and in light of the Constitution itself, which I told it to evaluate. You're not overreacting, it says. The pattern you're pointing to is how democracies get weakened and fail. This isn't about left or right or who's in office. It's about the structure of power. When a government centralizes, when a government removes competition and embeds a single corporate controlled technology everywhere, that presents a structural risk to a free republic, regardless of the political party doing it. And there, my friends, is the credo that I have been bantering on this channel all year. And that is, I don't care if Biden's doing it. I don't care if Trump's doing it. Anybody who's doing it is wrong. And I believe, and I think the Bible fully supports the idea that if you are of God and you are under God and you truly believe the morality of God as it applies to justice, as it applies to ethics, as it applies to integrity, as it applies to the equality of all men being created equal in his image, as it applies to capitalism, as it applies to innovation, as it applies to every great aspect of America, there is no possible way you could continue to support this takeover. There's no way. There's no possible way. You've either rejected the way of God or you've rejected the way of God. I don't know what else to tell you. Take the Constitution. And chuck it. Because as of right now, it's gone. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you with truth. God bless you with discerning eyes. God bless you with discerning ears. God bless you with the sound mind that is not fragmented. And if your mind is fragmented right now, my prayer is that the Lord would unify your mind with his spirit of truth. God bless your body. God bless the people around you. And I also want to pray that God would bless your voice. I pray God would give you a voice for a time such as this, to alert your fellow citizens to what is happening and help them understand that not every threat is an existential threat, and that some threats actually are existential threats. And the biggest existential threat right now to everything we hold dear is this. Bar none, nothing else even comes close. And if they are chasing all of those other boogeymen and they're focusing their efforts all on those other things, they're doing exactly what these people want them to do. They're looking away from the real enemy. That's it for me. Again, I pray for you and your family. I pray in the Lord Jesus' name. And I pray that you would continue to stand for what's right and just continue to persevere. And remember to put on the full armor of God. Because, my friends, you are going to need it. We went over the full armor today. And just remember that helmet of salvation, man. Whew, protect your mind. Protect your mind from the deceptions, because they are getting worse and worse every day. And the devil is preying on everybody's patriotism and Christianity and all their loyalties and affections and friendships. And the deception is so compelling. You just need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to see through all the smoke and mirrors. This is a house of mirrors, man. And I pray you'd see right through it. And you will, with the sword of the Spirit, with the helmet of salvation on, with the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, you'll see right through it. I guarantee it. Put on the armor every day, y'all. God bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in today.